This episode of Procurated's Decisions That Matter podcast is brought to you by Gordian. Gordian is revolutionizing the construction industry with data, software, and expertise. This is a great episode full of insights. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast, where we meet with leaders from across the procurement community to discuss innovative and strategic ideas. Because when it comes to procurement, every decision matters. Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast. I'm your host, Alex Stonehouse, and I'm joined by my co-host, Bernadette Lowney. And today we are also joined by Dr. Andrea Patruco, the Assistant Professor of Supply Chain Management from Florida International University in Miami. We are also joined by Dr. Anna Maria DeMond, the Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Administration at Boise State University. And we are joined by Randy Horn, the Director of Business Development at Gordian. The three of them today are some of the more forward-thinking minds in the job order contracting space. They put together a really interesting research project titled Job Order Contracting as a Project Delivery Method, Challenges and Opportunities, that we're going to dive into in a few minutes here. But just to get us started, I want us all to start on the same kind of definition of what job order contracting is. So Randy, would you mind telling us how you would just define job order contracting is, so everyone listening knows exactly what we're talking about?
Job order contracting is a unique, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity procurement process that helps facility and infrastructure owners complete repair, maintenance, renovation, and straightforward new construction projects through a competitively awarded contract. Unlike traditional bidding, where each project is identified, designed, and then put out to bid, job order contracting establishes competitively bid prices upfront and eliminates the need to separately bid each project. Under the job order contracting model, awarded contractors build all project price proposals using preset pricing established in a unit price book that we also call a construction task catalog.
Awesome. Great. I think that's a good segue into introducing the research project in general. One of the objectives of this was to compare to other delivery methods. So first question to kick off our conversation today, can someone introduce the research project that you guys underwent? What was the goal of it, the objective that led you guys to do all of this great research?
It's been the fact that construction industry plays a significant role in countering's economy from both a private and the public sector. So clearly the public sector buys a lot of construction projects, and the proliferation of small, medium, and big contractors that look for this kind of on project. If you look at economic report, a lot of national indicator like are linked to the construction sector status. So economic growth in econometric model is often linked to the status of the construction industry. The issue is that during time, depending on the project scope, the objective of the contract, the type of work that need to be performed, different type of project delivery method have been developed that can be suitable in different circumstances. So we have government agency that have various option at their disposal. And what we realize is that several of them, they actually don't know exactly what are the pros and cons of this different option, but also they don't know exactly what these different option mean in practice. So with this idea, the scope of this research was exactly to better understand, first of all, what are the construction procurement trend today in the United States, how different government agency perform solicitation activities and contract award with contractor, but particularly what are the difference between project delivery method, and with a particular focus on the difference between one of the project delivery method that seems to be underused today, job order contracting, but with greater potential. So it's underused, but potentially it can provide a great benefit to government agency compared to traditional project delivery methods such as design bid built or design build or construction manager at risk that might be more complex, but that are the most well known and so the most adopted.
So despite its 30 plus year history, job order contracting is an under-researched topic in construction management, as Andrea mentioned, and it's underutilized in practice. And we've seen this in our research that preceded the survey instrument for this specific project, as well as while talking to different practitioners and seeing the results of the survey instrument that we disseminated. So many procurement professionals want to know more about the project delivery methods. So this is why this research aimed to answer two main questions. So first of all, we wanted to understand whether solicitation, transaction, and coordination efforts are different when implementing job order contracting compared to those other delivery methods that Andrea was mentioning. And second of all, we wanted to understand how contractor relationships and contract governance differ when using job order contracting when compared again with those traditional delivery methods. So ultimately, what we wanted to do with this research is, on top of understanding these two main research questions, was also to increase awareness about the benefits of job order contracting and how and when it can be applied to public sector.
So that was a really great introduction. Before we jump into what the survey was and then some of the key findings that you guys found, I think it'd be really great to just do a quick definition of the different delivery methods that we are comparing here. So I know the core finding here is JOC, but we also mentioned design, bid, build, design, build, and construction manager at risk.
So let's start with the initial one, design, bid, build, also known as kind of the hard bid process, is the more traditional construction delivery method. That's where an agency puts together a set of plans and specs, then send it out to the marketplace for bid, and then ultimately they get what they call a hard bid back, and essentially a lump sum number that represents the cost to do the complete plans and specs that were bid out. So that's design, bid, build, or hard bid. The next one is design, build, which is more a collaborative process. Design, build is where a contractor and design firm work together as a design team. And what they do is provide a overall price of design as well as construction to an agency to complete a project. And construction management at risk, also known as CMAR. Again, that's where a construction manager takes on the responsibility of actually doing the CM portion of the work for the owner, as well as managing and owning the construction process and the hard bid number as well. So those are the three. And again, they all vary in some shape or form with job order contracting, which we can get into as well.
What would you say are some of the main perks of something like job order contracting compared to some of these other methods?
Sure. So one of the main benefits of a job order contracting program is what I call really is grounded in three things. One is it has an element of unit price to it. It also has an element of what we call a software system to manage it. And then in most agencies have a way to manage it with a service piece or an expertise piece, which are the people to manage it. And so a JOC component would have a master contract. So essentially, because it's IDIQ, there's not one project that's been identified to be accomplished with the JOC program. What an owner is trying to represent in the JOC program is to say, we have a series or number of projects we like to do throughout the year or some time period. We like to do is ask the contracting community to provide us set prices or set unit price to do each of the elements of the work. And so typically there's a unit price book associated with it, something called an adjustment factor from a contractor, which represents their overhead and profit and conditions that go along with completing the work. And then there's this unknown piece of the actual project. So at the time our project is selected by the owner will decide what the scope of work is. Based on the scope of work, the contractor will select the items from the unit price book, multiply that by their adjustment factor, and times the quantity of that unit item to get completed. Based on that, the summation of all those individual line items that make up the scope of work, that forms the basis for the price. So one of the key differences in that and some of the other delivery methods is a couple things. One is there's an opportunity for extensive collaboration. So an owner can either know very clearly what the scope of work is about, let's renovate a room, for example. Or in some cases, the owner may say, we have an idea what we'd like the scope of work to do, but we'd like to work closely with the contractor to come up and finalize the scope of work. That dynamic in and of itself changes the paradigm from, for example, a hard bid scenario. In a job order contracting program, the collaboration piece is so important and it changes the relationship between the contractor and owner to one of more collaboration and performance. Because again, ultimately the contractor is entitled to get their unit price, their adjustment factor, times the unit price in the book, times the quantity of that item for each and every project. So there's not this, there's a clear transparency and collaboration piece that's very different from a hard bid scenario. Quickly on the other two, design build has a real big collaboration piece to it. The difference I would say between design build and job order contracting is design build is really geared for larger jobs, really those, you know, those $50, $60 million projects that are new, you know, new ground up, major construction project that has a huge design element to it. Job order contracting typically is not used for those large jobs, but for smaller jobs that have a really high component of collaboration and some element of design, but not a huge design component. And then CM at risk, the difference is, again, you don't have a construction manager overseeing that part of the process. So again, job order contracting has this role and it has a tool in the toolkit for the owners, we like to say. It's just another valuable tool that owners can use to complete their construction projects.
So how did you guys go about collecting this data and conducting this research project? Was there a survey involved with procurement professionals?
Yes. As academic, we try to start from something that could provide reliability to our results, connecting to the point I was referring about the lack of existing research. And in doing that, we started from a specific perspective, which we call transaction cost theory. So just to provide a definition, transaction cost theory is a very popular theory in research and practice to explain and analyze buyer and supplier relationship. And we define a transaction cost as any cost, human effort and or material capital resources investment that are involved in an economic transaction between a buyer and a supplier in the process of exchanging goods and services. So ideally, what the transaction cost theory tells us is that buyer and supplier enter a business relationship. So there is a buying market when the transaction costs are sustainable from both parts. So from this idea, we said, okay, we have different project delivery methods with different characteristics. We will have also different transaction costs. So what are the main differences from a transaction cost theory perspective? So starting from this, we wanted to answer two specific questions. Question number one, if solicitation, transaction, and coordination effort are different when implementing job order contracting compared to other delivery methods? And second, how do contractor relationship and governance of the contract differ when using job order contracting compared to other delivery methods? To answer this question, we designed a survey including more than 50 questions. And during summer of 2021, we surveyed 260 procurement professionals operating in different public organizations, government organizations, state agency, and country government, as well as health organization and education institution. We actually have more than 260 responses. 260 are the complete response. The total response rate is over 400 professional. So focusing on this sample, we got responses from professionals that have wide experience with procuring construction project. So 5 years or more, and almost 67% of the agency in the sample are large organizations. How do we find large organizations? They spend more than $10 million of construction procurement only every year. Just to give an idea of the magnitude of construction procurement in this agency, we collect responses that they said that their organization spend a significant amount on few construction contracts annually. So they spend more than $10 million, but around 50% of agency complete less than 25 projects. And for most of the responses, the duration of the procurement process generally surpasses 12 weeks. So to more than 3 months just to procure a single project, which is a huge amount of time compared to procurement of the other more standard goods and services.
No, I think we're all dying to know the results here. This sounds like a really thorough survey in terms of the types of people that responded who had really extensive construction experience. Anna Maria, do you maybe want to jump in and talk us through the first few findings that you guys found?
What we found was that require less time and fewer people than those traditional methods mentioned earlier in the podcast, design build, and construction manager at risk. So what does that mean, actually? Now, we know that the general perception is the public sector procurement system is dominated. It's complicated and bureaucratic, and specifically for those more complex contracts as construction projects are, right? And they're often delayed because of lack of appropriate resources. Now, traditional procurement cycles typically take months to complete, as Andrea outlined, and require a significant amount of administrative and technical resources. Now, job order contracting reduces this time significantly. Once a job order contract is awarded, the owner can ask the contractor to perform a series of projects. So there is no need to prepare and copy and advertise and distribute again the bid packages for each project. So this is time-consuming front-end process. It's completed one time rather than repeated for each project. And therefore, the procurement process takes weeks instead of months. Now, when procuring construction projects through those traditional delivery methods, 49.3% of survey respondents indicated that more than five people are involved in the procurement process, and 51.3% of respondents said that the process lasts more than 12 weeks. Therefore, having a delivery method that enhances project performance in terms of these, the number of folks involved in the process and the time needed to complete the process is essential.
The repeatability of JOC just seems so important here in terms of, even if it still takes that 12-week time period initially to build that first contract, you're not doing 12 weeks, five, six, seven, eight times. I think, Andrea, you said that people are doing less than 25 construction projects a year, but around that number. So it's like you think about that number of weeks across 15, 20, 25 times, that's just a lot of time spent into that transaction and solicitation period. So just want to emphasize the repeatability of JOC, that you're doing that once and then being able to do it across other projects is just a really great takeaway.
Yeah, and that's exactly like the repeatability of JOCs and the possibility to save time and resources due to this repeatability is exactly connected to the concept of transaction costs we were talking about. So I hope that not like anyone get offended. I said that the problem with the public sector is that they are resistant to adopt innovative and alternative type of procedure. JOC is a non-standard project delivery method. So what government agency feel is that as a JOC is not widely used or understood, is something like out of their comfort zone, then necessarily it will require more resource investment. It's the concept of economy of scope. If you do something a lot of time, you'll become very skilled and very expert and very fast and very efficient in doing that, so that you want to stick with this procedure. The thing is that if I have to jump in a new procedure, JOC, it will take me so much time and so much investment to become an expert of that, that the benefits that JOC might provide me will be compromised by my inability to implement the procedure. Yes. Our finding actually does not confirm that, because we target people that use JOC and in these circumstances, we don't find that JOC program require more people, more time, and more money, which is what an organization that doesn't adopt JOC might tell you to justify the fact that they are not using JOC. Unlike traditional bidding, where each project is identified, designed, and then put out to bid, and when I say traditional bidding, I'm talking about design bid build, design bid, construction manager at risk. What does job order contracting does? It establishes competitive bid prices upfront and eliminates the need to separately bid each project. This by itself is a save of time, resources, and possible issue that might arise every time you bid on each project. So the transaction cost of procuring construction project with JOC is lower than traditional delivery method, because the owner, the customer, doesn't have to repeat the entire procurement cycle for each project. So that's a huge benefit, because local bidding requirements are satisfied with just one solicitation. Solicitation in construction, but also with the procurement on any other goods and service, is one of the most time-consuming tasks for a procurement professional. If you do something wrong in the solicitation, in a cascade way, the following steps are affected in a negative way as well. It also lowers transaction costs for the constructor. That's the other thing that, because we have always assumed the perspective of the government agency, but let's step in the perspective of the supply. If you look at from the contractor perspective, there are benefits also from the supply. Bidding on individual project is time consuming and costly for the constructor. Like they have to propose a bid and technical requirements and produce documentation, usually for different government agency on different standards. So that's time consuming. That requires investment on their behalf on something that they don't even know they are going to win. So they might be what we call a sunk cost. They produce this bidding document just in the hope to get the contract, but a lot of times they're not selected. So since they may only be awarded a small percentage of jobs, clearly bidding on a delivery method that assures them a leaner process is very convenient for them. With job order contractor, contractor benefit for the single solicitation process, which enable them to pass those overhead and profit saving to the owner because they don't have to allocate the administrative expenses that they usually have with design bid build, design bid, or construction manager.
That was very well said. And for anybody listening, we're going to share some of the materials that they produced in the show notes that you can go take a look at. One of them that really stood out to me is there's just a super simple chart that you all presented at NIGP last year that just shows JOC with design as a second category and then design bid build as a third category. And it's laid out on essentially a year-long map. And when you actually look at what each step of the process takes for JOC compared to design bid build, it is really compelling. You can see kind of the speed of the process and how you're able to get things done very quickly. And you could get 6 JOC projects done in the time that you could do a single design bid build. And so there's obviously times where design bid build is going to be necessary and required, especially for really big jobs. But for some of these smaller and intermediate jobs, it's almost a no-brainer when you look at that chart.
Yeah, Alex, if I could just add in just to highlight some of Andrea's point from just a practical standpoint in real life as well. Again, being in business development, I often have early discussions with owners about job order contracting, this awareness about what is JOC and how does it work. And so there's this education. But to Andrea's point, there is sometimes this concern about, well, do I have the time to implement a program? And this is where, again, having a third-party firm can also provide a tremendous amount of value. We'd like to highlight the fact that we know as a public agency, you have your day job to do as well, right? And so firms can come in and help you with the implementation of the unit price book, protocol, standard procedures, the software setup. So there are good third-party firms out there that can come out to make sure that those things are set up for you the right way. And we like to believe a highly functioning and efficient JOC program actually saves owners money in the long run as well, right? In terms of the initial setup costs, but to Andrea's point again, the transaction costs start to dissipate as you start to do more and more jobs. Once you set up the initial master contract and protocols, you quickly realize the benefits and the economy to scales from setting that up, from doing numerous projects over and over again, with controls, with set prices and set up in place. So there are a lot of benefits that take place. Just getting that familiarity and education out the way up front is an important part of the awareness for job order contracting.
Thank you. You guys did such a great job kind of summing up the solicitation and transaction costs. But I know the other variable that we'd spoken to was that relationship piece and how the different delivery methods kind of create different relationships between the agency and the contractor. So does anyone want to jump in and say what the research study found in terms of that relationship?
Yes, I'll start. So when we focus on construction procurement from both the private and the public sector, relationship and governance of the relationship is one of the biggest issues. Mistrust, lack of commitment, opportunistic behavior are painful aspects that need to be solved when entering a construction project contract. We discussed and spoke with several procurement professionals other than the survey. One of the main issues in construction procurement is challenging that they face in obtain quality offer at competitive prices. So there is the difficulty in obtain a manageable price with a good offer, because usually you obtain one or the other. There's a trade-off, which means that a public organization in making their choice of a more efficient delivery or a more quality project content, they are exposed to possible opportunistic behavior on the part of the supplier, that on one side they might save on the quality, on the other side they might go on extra budget because the government agency were just looking at the quality and the technical requirement. So this government faced the challenge of looking for strategies and way to build the relationship that assured them trust and a delivery of the project that is painless in terms of contract issue. So they're basically look for collaboration and limitation of opportunistic behavior. I've personally done research in the design bid build context, and that's a big issue, especially in the public sector. Our results show that these aspects are much better in the context of JOC contract. So JOC contract compared to other project delivery methods seems to guarantee more effective governance of the relationship with contractor, which means that on one side, the relationship quality is an inch, because our funding show that buyer and supplier seems to have better communication, enhanced trust, prevention of opportunistic behavior. And on the other, like favor the meat of demand and supply. So clearly, if you show that with a certain type of contract, the relationship governance is easier and is also improved, that would put supplier and buyer more in the position of looking for this type of contract more than they did in the past. While the job order contracting contract is in place for multiple projects, what we found is that the contractor can still satisfy the owner's standard of quality, time and construction to ensure future work without incurring in the risk of opportunistic behavior. So the owner is not obligated to give the contractor more projects within a job order contract. But if they are satisfied with the working relationship, this is more likely to happen. So the potential of a steady stream of work motivates the contractor to meet and exceed expectation with quality on time construction. This is less so to happen in design bid build, because design bid build, especially in the public sector, are like one time. So a good performer in a contract cannot guarantee the supplier an increased probability of be selected to the next bid. There is a principle that is called fair treatment. So the agency need to select every time according to objective criteria, and past performance has only a very low weight in the overall decision-making process. In job order contracting, due to the possibility to award multiple projects within a JOC contract, give the supplier a motivation boost to perform and exceed the expectations.
From an operations standpoint as well, having been in construction for the better part of 20 years, I can't stress how important that opportunistic behavior is at the forefront of working in public construction. And so having a program like Job Order Contracting really changes that paradigm, to Andre's point. It changes it from an opportunistic to a more of a performance-based and collaborative nature. So to your point, think about the concept. I have a master contract where I can maybe earn up to, say, $5 million over a 2 or 3 year period. But again, the only way I get to that $5 million is that each time the owner calls me out to deliver on one of the projects, I need to do a good job each and every time. That means I need to be responsive. I need to collaborate. I need to make sure I'm being customer focused when I work with a client. And I also need to deliver the project with high quality and perform safely in doing the construction process. All those metrics have to be met, because ultimately, if they're not, there's no obligation or commitment contractually from the owner to give me the next job or the next job to allow me to get to that ultimate maximum contract of $5 million per se. So when I see that being applied, the contractor's performance changes drastically, because they understand that the investment of time they put in to bid and win the master contract is what I call an asset to them, right? But the asset is only really realized if they get to the full maximum value of that contract. And the only way to get that to the maximum value of the contract is to perform each and every time for the owner, which ultimately from a good governance standpoint is a win-win for the owner and the contractor, quite frankly. So it wins for the public agency, it wins for the contractor, and ultimately benefits the taxpayers and constituents that need the projects done on time and with high quality as well. So one of the key elements of a high functioning JOC program is what we have this five-step process where it begins with what I call a joint scope meeting. Where at the joint scope meeting, there's this collaborative process where the owner representative is there, you have the contractor, you also have particular subcontractors that may be relevant for that particular job. And the reason this is so important is this is where a lot of the creative ideas, value engineering, scope streamlining, all those types of ideas and solutions are able to be discussed in a very free flow, collaborative way at this joint scope meeting. Notice this is very different in a hard bid environment. In a hard bid environment, the contractors are not encouraged to want to share any potential holes in the plans or specifications or challenges in the project. Job order contracting, again, changes that dynamic on its head. If I'm a contractor and I win one of the master job contracts, now when I'm called out to actually deliver on the job, I want my team to come with full of ideas, full of energy. I want to be problem solving and consultative in my approach to the owner. Because ultimately, if I can deliver and bring value at that project, I'm going to get the next opportunity at the next job. One of the values at Gordian, for example, this five-step process starts with a joint scope meeting. We review the project in very detail with the owner, the project manager, the contractor, and we go through this back and forth process to make sure we have a clean scope of work, which ultimately produces a clean proposal from a transparency and audibility standpoint, which makes sure the owner's getting what they're paying for. It drives home the idea of transparency and good governance as part of that process.
Awesome. Well, this has been such a good overview of the research project that you guys have executed. As Alex mentioned earlier, we'll be linking to it in the show notes. But I would love to kind of just tie everything together. Why does this research matter, both in terms of high level bringing JOC to the public sector, but also in light of things going on in the public sector right now? The large infrastructure bill that was just signed being one example of why construction is so top of mind right now in the public sector.
So first of all, our research highlights that despite its relatively low diffusion, the study concludes that JOC performs equally to or better than other delivery methods. Right, so generally, JOC was created to support the delivery of specific type of projects, and public organizations should, of course, carefully consider this option when they have a significant amount of, for example, repairs or maintenance or straightforward new construction projects. Now, the infrastructure bill that you mentioned focuses on rebuilding the nation's deteriorating roads and bridges and funding new climate resilience and broadband initiatives. So this type of work has been successfully complemented through JOC for decades. So in addition, our research finds that JOC significantly reduces the number of individuals involved and in the project, as well as the timeline, the procurement timeline. Once the job order contracting is awarded, the owner can ask contractors to perform a series of projects, allowing the owner to tackle this infrastructure project much faster. And another thing that it's worth highlighting, right, the collaborative environment that we talked about, right, it's important to enhance performance of this type of project, which is why, you know, like once again, JOC for the type of project that it can be used for is highly important. So again, we want to highlight and put forward that there is another tool in the government's hands that can be used within this recent environment where the construction spending is enhanced through the infrastructure bill.
It's such a good point. And it seems like the nature of a lot of the infrastructure projects really is perfect for something like JOC because it's not looking to necessarily build a huge design project from scratch. It's saying that we want to repair our highways across thousands of miles, maybe in different parts of the state. It probably makes a lot of sense to have the same contractor on it in a way that's scalable.
Yeah. I think to me, there's a personal element as well. I do a lot of work in some of the inner cities throughout California and some of the other parts of the country in the West Coast. And there's a clear need for a lot of this infrastructure work. And so something as simple as clean water, for example, and, you know, that the ability when they pass this infrastructure bills to really help some of these departments get the projects done. And one of the things I'm most proud about from a JOC program is it allows them to move quickly to get that work done. I know as public agencies, there's a lot of red tape, we all know, and despite some of the best efforts, things take time. But the reality is having the JOC program in place allows them to effectuate this money and get it into some projects that really have a meaningful impact on people's lives in the short term. Proud to be associated with the program JOC, because again, it allows agencies to really move quickly. These projects are really important to a lot of people that need them desperately. And especially something as simple as water, I think we often take for granted, but a lot of communities need clean water and how to distill water in a proper, safe way for sanitation waste as well. So to me, it's personal, and I'm proud that something like JOC can really be helpful to these communities.
Last kind of high level question here about JOC. So people listening to this, they might be getting their infrastructure funding. They say, yes, I want to do JOC. I want to implement it into our next solicitation cycle. Step one might be showing whoever you need that decision-making from this study, show them the stats, show them why they should invest in JOC. But from there, what are some of the first couple actionable steps that they can take to make sure that their first JOC project is a success?
So the first thing, like you say, is really kind of an awareness. So I would say first is they could reach out to the technical or subject matter experts to find out, again, what is JOC at its core and how does it work and how it could benefit their programs. Third-party agencies like Gordian out there exist to help provide technical support and expertise and education for how the program works, how it could be provided and implemented into their agency. I think what's important also is a lot of peer references. Gordian, from doing this with over better part of 30 years, we can show that we can support agencies across a wide spectrum of sub-verticals, whether it's in school districts, K-12 space, hospitals, housing agencies, transportation agencies. We can provide a lot of technical information by industry and also provide a lot of peer-to-peer references. I think that peer reference piece is really important to help reduce or ease some of the anxieties or questions around what is JOC and how can it work for my agency. The second part would be really to move toward implementing a program specific to your agency. And I use the word specific to be intentionally because, again, you want to make sure that the JOC program is customized for your agency. Each agency has a particular set of needs, requirements based on geography, your community. And so having some understanding about what it means to have a customized solution for your particular agency is really important. And again, working with an agency or a firm like Gordian can really help provide that level of customization that you need. And then next step would be to put in place your master contracts based on preset prices in your unit price book, go out and advertise and do a competitive solicitation process. And at the end of that process, have a set of competitive prices already established. And then based on that, you can start executing work right away. And so again, it's really important, again, start to get that process started. I would say is getting to work in parallel. You can start doing education as you start thinking about bidding out your own contracts and those kind of things as well. And typically a good agency can have a program up and running in a matter of months. It's not as daunting as it may think and sound initially. But it's really just taking the first step, quite frankly, and getting things going. And working with a third-party technical firm like Gordian can really be a tremendous value add in that process. So another option, another way to get to a JOC program, as you think about doing your own customized solution, is through what we call cooperatives. There are several cooperatives throughout the country. An example would be Sourcewell, where that agency has already cooperatively or competitively bid construction contracts that are already in place for the use and benefit of members. They want to have a project they want to do now. They can actually pivot quickly and identify a contractor through a competitive program that Sourcewell has in place, and they can actually get their project started in a matter of weeks.
So that means that the master contract is already bid in a JOC unit price kind of way.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yep, that is correct. A very easy way to get started for sure.
Yes, there you go. If I could add another point, that's really helpful for some smaller agencies. So I would also like to maybe highlight, maybe some of the larger agency, it makes sense if they have the infrastructure and the bandwidth and volume to do their own program. Then it makes sense to do what we call a standalone JOC program. There are hundreds of smaller agencies that are being really run really, really thinly with resources. They don't have a huge budget, but have a need to get a few projects done a year. The cooperative model is a really great tool for them in those situations where they don't have to invest the time to stand up their own program. But instead they can leverage the work that's already been done from the cooperative to do one project, two, three, four, five throughout the year through the cooperative. It's another great resource that allows you to leverage the benefits of a JOC program. It has the same tenets and principles of a JOC program that have been delivered through a cooperative model.
We've talked a lot about the kind of JOC model today, and Gordian has a very unique approach to how they deliver on that for the people that they're working with. Can you talk to us a bit about the Gordian way?
So first I'll say is the creators of JOC delivery method, I mean, Gordian has decades of experience and 30 plus years of experience of implementing and supporting successful job programs across across North America. Again, starting from K through 12s, hospitals, housing authorities, counties, state agencies, again, 30 plus years of experience of working with agencies across the country of various size and types. We bring a level of deep expertise and knowledge that's unparalleled in the marketplace. Each of Gordian Jock Project follows a proven process to make sure the scope of work is clearly defined, agreed upon, and executed as efficiently as possible. We develop a custom local preset unit prices called the Construction Task Catalog, which ensures accurate project costs. All Gordian Jock contracts are accessed in a secured cloud-based software application. This purpose-built software allows owners to set milestones that track end dates, spend limits, and also track key performance indicators for easy contract management. The Gordian team conducts a line-by-line review of each project proposal to eliminate inefficiencies and confirm every relevant task necessary to complete the project is included. Gordian provides end-to-end support and JOC expertise, which is why hundreds of organizations rely on Gordian's JOC solutions to execute more than $2.6 billion in construction volume each year. Essentially, Gordian is that full and fully integrated consultant that allows your JOC program to be successful and meet all the agency's programmatic needs.
Great. Thank you all for joining us today on the Decisions That Matter podcast. This is a great one. And I encourage everybody listening to go look at those resources that we mentioned. They're incredibly interesting. And I think you'll learn a lot from them. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
As a bonus addition to this episode, I've brought on Michael Durr. He now serves as a community engagement manager at Procurated, but served for almost 21 years for the County of Monterey as a contracts and purchasing officer. In his time with the County of Monterey, he was a big believer in job order contracting, and I brought him on to share his thoughts with you on how he got started in job order contracting and how the various projects went for him in his county. During your time in Monterey County, you at some point realized that you had a need for job order contracting. What was it that made you realize the benefits of JOC and make that move to pull the trigger on working with, on using a JOC supplier?
You know, and thanks for having me on, Alex. I do appreciate it. And, you know, as the previous CPO for Monterey County, you know, one of the things that we face is always that growing to-do list. Do more work with less people. Complete it faster. You know, we all have deferred maintenance backlog continue to grow. We had buildings and infrastructure that were aging, and we had projects that needed to happen quickly. So in 2013, I started researching ways to improve our really lengthy process that we had to get just minor building infrastructure projects done quickly without having to go out to full formal bid, which sometimes took 6 months to a year. So I started doing my research, started looking out, and found out that job order contracting was an avenue that we really wanted to look at.
And from the kind of moment that you made that decision to actually getting, like, working on different projects, was it a fairly easy process to get rolling, to get started, to get moving on?
You know, it was. I had to do some lengthy research. Then I had to do multiple presentations to our internal budget committee. And then I had to do a formal presentation to our department heads, and then a full presentation to our county board of supervisors for adoption. We actually had to go forward and ask them to adopt job order contracting in our county in order for us to utilize it. So it was a pretty lengthy process, but we got it done pretty quickly. I think we got it done within 6 months. When we first started it, we thought it was going to take us at least a year or so to really get it initialized into our county, but it went pretty quickly. And what we did is we kind of just faced our department heads and our board and said, look, Public Works Contract Code Section 201.28.5 provides us, the county, a way of awarding annual contracts for repair, remodeling, or other repetitive work. Why aren't we doing it? You know, it makes sense. Our taxpayers are complaining, hey, we're not fixing our roads fast enough. Our public buildings are in dilapidation, they're falling apart. Taxpayers complaining. Let's help meet our taxpayers' expectations by getting these projects done quickly. So that's what we were able to do. We were able to tackle a mountain of projects quickly once we got JOC in place.
It seems like one of the benefits really is that ability to kind of tackle unrelated projects. Like you could do, have bus stops updated and then at the same time be updating plumbing inside of a building or something like that. Is that how you kind of experienced it? Were you able to do a lot of different things at the same time? Or did you have a more specific use case for it in Monterey?
We had a variety of cases. We had multiple large projects, remodel projects that we were coming on board with. We had a older courthouse building that needed remodeling. We had a juvenile hall. And then we have a part of our sheriff's department that needed quick repairs. So what we did is we started looking at job order contracting and said, okay, what can this do for us? How can it help Monterey County? As we started doing our research, we found out that, you know, with job order contracting, there's indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts that you can put in place. It helps us as the public agency complete a large number of individual projects with a single competitively award contract. We didn't have to keep going out for individual contract awards, you know, plan and specs, which could take 6 to 12 months. And then everything was task-based on a guaranteed preset price. So we didn't have to worry about prices going up midstream or starting a project 6 months later and the prices increase. We were locked into pricing from the very beginning when we did that task catalog.
Well, that leads right into what my next question is going to be, which is the big pitch is that it's both extremely efficient and also can save some money as well as saving time. It sounds like that was actually the experience that you had with it as well. Is that right?
Yeah. The benefits that we looked at and we weighed was, how are we going to simplify our procurement process? How are we going to streamline and meet the needs of our users, which was, you know, public works, facilities, and a few other road crew? How are we going to give us faster response time to our projects, but also to our citizens? We wanted to look at improved quality of work. We wanted preset pricing, which eliminated negotiations. We didn't want to be in the middle of negotiations during a project. We wanted fully transparent processes. We wanted to increase the collaboration between my department and the user department. And then accountability and audibility, you know, and then we wanted to reduce change orders. Change orders is the number one killer of any large projects out there. And we wanted to reduce our change orders.
Do you have any final thoughts for someone who's on the edge right now thinking or wondering if Jock is the right thing for them, who's maybe in a similar position to you?
You know, I would say, well, ask yourself, why aren't you? You know, as a public agency, you have the right to use job order contracting. You know, and when we looked at it, we looked at what type of projects were we going to be able to use JOC for? And maintenance and repairs, renovations, you know, replacement in-kind projects, emergency response work. And then those projects that are really, really time-sensitive projects, and then alterations. You know, those are the areas we looked at and said, hey, we can make improvement. So when we first started JOC, we had a gauge, a measure. We wanted to know how we were going to improve on our time and on our projects. When we first, the first year we went into JOC, we had a 91% of JOC projects delivered on budget.
Oh.
That was a huge improvement over previous projects in the county, because I can guarantee you 80% or 90% of our projects were never on budget. And then we had an 87% increase of JOC projects delivered on time. So we had contractors that wanted to perform well because they wanted to be awarded under these JOC contracts. So huge, huge time-saving problem, money-saving problem. And I would just say, ask yourself, why aren't you using JOC?
Well, that's an awesome answer. We'll end on that. Thanks for joining me, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Decisions That Matter. This podcast is brought to you by Procurated, the leading supplier evaluation tool for procurement professionals across the U.S. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen. See you again next time.